Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Attract Health, Build Wealth podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Bewley, and I am honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about things I am currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through our emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to attract health, build wealth, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us. And because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our kids, our spouses, we have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls, and these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 73, I welcome Dr. Frank Anderson to the podcast to talk about emotional trauma, transcending trauma, and something called internal family systems, which we will talk about in the podcast as well. But before we get into the show, don't forget to let me know your thoughts about this episode, any feedback you have, or anything you would like me to cover on future podcasts at epiphanyvault.com. Remember, it is a safe place, and I would welcome the discussion. Today's episode is sponsored by the Healing Circle Patreon community. This is a safe and supportive community where you can get exclusive video content and tools from me. I do monthly worksheets. I do downloads. I even do a live group coaching call every month. So this is great for you no matter how far along you are on your journey or even if you're just starting out. If you want to heal anxiety, if you want more self-love, more self-acceptance, and just more of a joyous life, there are three different options to choose from starting at $7 per month. And I can't wait to see you inside the Healing Circle community. So about my guest today, Dr. Frank Anderson. Frank Anderson, MD, completed his residency and was a clinical instructor in psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. He is both a psychiatrist and a psychotherapist. He specializes in the treatment of trauma and dissociation and is passionate about teaching brain-based psychotherapy and integrating current neuroscience knowledge with the IFS, which is Internal Family Systems Model of Therapy. We talk all about it in the episode, and I know that you're going to enjoy this talk with Dr. Frank Anderson. Dr. Frank Anderson, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I know everyone is going to love this conversation.
I'm thrilled to be here. I'm really excited to be here. So thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So we were chatting a little bit before we came on today, and there's really so much I feel like for us to talk about. So I hope an hour or 45 minutes or whatever it is enough. But we'll have a lot of links for the listeners to find you as well at the end and in the show notes as well. But to start, one of the most recent books that you released is called Transcending Trauma. And I started talking about trauma here in this space probably about a month or two ago. I've always kind of talked about codependency. And what I'm realizing now is that codependency was really a relational response to my environment. So that's kind of a side note. But I was wondering if you could brief our listeners or my listeners about trauma. What is trauma exactly?
Yeah, so that's a good question for starting, and a broad one in an interesting way, right? So trauma, it's so interesting because some people can really have an allergic reaction to trauma. Oh, that's not me. I haven't been traumatized. Like, I'm not a victim. So some people really kind of get that response in this way. But the way I define trauma is in a much broader sense. Okay. There's these different, you know, the book I talk about different types of trauma, Okay. So I talk about, for example, there can be an acute single incident trauma. There could be chronic trauma. There's relational trauma. And I'll explain all these a little bit more. There's developmental trauma. And then there's what we call dissociative or extreme trauma. So for me, in the general sense, trauma is it's going through something overwhelming. It's beyond the human capacity to tolerate, in a nutshell. So when you've been through any number of things, whether it is a toxic relationship or a codependent relationship, whether it's a horrible car accident, whether it's witnessing an event that was really overwhelming and traumatic, the death of somebody acutely that you're very close to, are all forms of trauma. The piece that I focus on the most, and honestly, these are most of who come in to see therapists, are people that have been through what we call relational trauma or complex PTSD. It's these relational violations, these ongoing relational violations that are overwhelming, that are physically harmful, emotionally harmful, sexually harmful. This is this very broad category, and certainly children experience this with parents who are abusive or out of control or kind of drinking a lot or on drugs or neglectful. It's an important piece, honestly, is how important neglect is in this definition of trauma, right? Something as overwhelming is the absence of love and connection can be very overwhelming, right? So from the relational realm, I'm really thinking about overwhelming or severely underwhelming experiences that have a huge impact on people. And then what do they do about it and how do they cope with it? That's a huge kind of piece, right? It's how you adapt to it, how you don't adapt to it, what you do to try to compensate, get away from, try to fix, try to solve, try, there's all these adaptations that are really what get people stuck, get people overwhelmed, and I'm going to say get people symptomatic. That there's a lot that comes from having an overwhelming experience first off in any kind of venue, and then what are your coping skills to be able to manage it? Because most of us, especially if we go through stuff overwhelming as children, you don't have very good coping skills. And if your primary caregivers are the ones that are doing this, they're not helping and supporting you. So kids, teenagers, even adults use what they know to try to cope with overwhelming experiences. And that might not be the most adaptive way to cope, but it's all you have. It's all you have, so.
Thank you for that. A few things came up for me when you were explaining that, so I really appreciate that. I would love to talk about the overwhelming versus underwhelming thing and then maybe move into the different kinds that you pointed out. The thing for me in my journey is that, and I think it's still in I don't know if you would agree, but I think it's still in mainstream society where the overwhelming definition of trauma is the pervading one. Like I
You
can't
got
tell
it.
you how many times I said to myself and the clients say to myself, "Oh, well, at least he didn't hit me," or, "Oh, well, at least this." It's kind of devaluing our experience. I was wondering, would you mind talking a little bit about that overwhelming and the underwhelming? Because I feel like in my growth and in my knowledge now, my knowledge base and my healing is that even those underwhelming experiences, especially over time, can really cause the same effect as maybe even those overwhelming experience. I don't know if that's I'm kind of putting to you what I've learned, and I don't, please feel free to refute or dispute, but that's kind of been my experience.
Interestingly enough, Lily, underwhelming is actually more serious than overwhelming when you look at neurobiology and you look at neuroscience. Okay,
Interesting.
and people are really surprised by this. So when we're talking about overwhelming experiences, right, in the science world, and this is one of the things that I teach about a lot, is this kind of how do you bring brain science into real world trauma. So I like to integrate those things. As somebody who's a psychiatrist, I try to put, mind body together in a real way, science and
Yes.
emotion together in a real way, right?
Right.
Overwhelming is called like sympathetic hyperarousal or overactivation, right? Oh my God, panic attack, anxiety, freaking out, like hitting, screaming, like all the big stuff. It's sympathetic. The sympathetic nervous system gets activated. You get overwhelming experiences, you get overwhelming symptoms, and you're absolutely right about that. That's what most people are think of when they think about trauma. And that's why a lot of people say, well, that's not me. I don't have that, right?
Right,
This is one of
yeah.
the ways they disconfirm their trauma histories, is because if it's not big and huge and overwhelming, then it must not be me, right? And that is rooted in sympathetic hyperarousal. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on in our body and our chemicals around being physiologically overwhelmed. Okay. And that could be intermittent. You can get triggered, from panic attacks, this kind of thing. And it's more common. The research is more known on hyperaroused PTSD, right? The activated post-traumatic stress disorder. But more recently, probably within the last 5 or so years, we've always known about numb, dissociation, disconnection, shame, but we've never known much about the neurobiology attached to it. Okay, we knew it existed, but it was just like everybody was studying the fear response and activation. But if this other side, interestingly enough, as we learn more and more about it, those responses of disconnect, of numbing, of neglect, being under, like not cared for, not loved, not touched, are actually physiologically more dangerous, more life-threatening when we learn more about the neurobiology. Like if you remember way back in like high school biology, fight, flight, freeze, submit. Okay. Submit is at the end of the rope. The animal, when they feel they have absolutely no chance of survival, they submit and they play dead.
Right.
Okay. It's like the end of the line when there's no hope is where the disconnection, the hypoarousal shows up. So when I see somebody who's in more shut down, they're more numbed out, I'm like, wow, this is really life-threatening for them. This feels really serious. So it really is physiologically a more end of the line adaptation.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody starts getting anxious and overwhelmed and like, oh, good, we're making progress, they're getting better.
Yeah.
Because shutdown and shame and disconnection, shame is this kind of no contact. I am so bad, I'm not even worth connection.
Right.
Right. So we look at those two, hyper and hypo, and there are ways to work with both. Okay. But from the spectrum of severity, I'm always looking at that range, and interesting, I'll say another thing, and this is kind of talking about my own personal history. So separate from this range, some people are more extroverted and some people are more introverted. Like I've always been with my trauma history, oh my God, freaking out and activated. That's kind of aligns
Yeah.
more with my personality.
I think it's most people on this podcast too, is what I've found. I'm the other way. I'm like the low,
Yeah,
but I think
that's
most
right.
people would probably identify with the anxiety driven one too.
That's exactly right. Because the introverts, the people that kind of shut down, go inside, implode, disconnect, it's in some ways it's interesting. It's a more, don't want to say less adaptive response, because when you are, one of the things I say in the book, and this is a really important quote for me, is like suicide is the lack of love and connection. When you are feeling no love, no connection, suicide is an adaptive response. It's like,
True.
oh my gosh, I have no one, I have nothing. So when I hear somebody talk about suicide, I don't say, oh my gosh, let's throw you in the hospital. I'm like, you need connection more than anything right now, because
Sure.
suicide is a way to cope with the ultimate lack of love and connection, which is that alone, hypo-aroused disconnect.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
important differences and important for people to be aware of. I don't need to minimize, oh my God, I'm freaking out, having a panic attack. But I also want to bring to light, the severity of shame and disconnection and utter aloneness. I do talk about shame, so I talk about these two different shame cycles, for example. Like, you could feel I'm worthless and I'm no good if your parent is yelling and screaming at you. You're so stupid, you're a worthless piece of crap, which is hyper aroused cause of shame, right? Then I must be a worthless piece of crap. My parent just told me I am, or a partner just told me I am, right? You start believing it, right? Other side of the story, the other side of the shame cycle is, oh my God, my parents don't even love me. I really must be horrible.
Something's wrong
My
with me.
teeth, something's wrong with me,
Yes.
right? So
Yeah.
that's what people do. When somebody else doesn't take responsibility for it, we always blame ourselves, right? And so those
Yeah.
are kind of two roots of these shame cycles in this way. If you're yelled and screamed at, hyper aroused, or if you're totally ignored, you really must be no good.
Yeah. That's so powerful too. Thank you for covering that.
You're welcome.
I do. It's really nice to have a different perspective on that the things that happen to us aren't our faults for the most
Yes.
part, especially
Yeah.
when we're younger. For me, like I'm saying, is that I'm low on the hypo scale.
Yes.
And it had a lot
Yeah.
to do with me kind of becoming aware and opening space for healing and coming into support, is that emotional nurturance that I didn't really, re it was like the nurturing thing for me that I really didn't receive. And I think that I did operate maybe in a hyper state for decades, but then it really kind of
Yeah.
just, like you said, it's like the coping of, sh kind of shutting down in a way. Yeah, so thanks for shedding some light on that. It's so important. And can you go back a little? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I will, if it's okay. Well, what you know what I wanted to touch base on two things you said, and we can do it now or later, like
Yeah.
the it's not my fault. Like, I
Totally.
can go there now or we can go there later. It's up to you.
It's your show now.
Okay.
Go
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank
ahead.
you. So that piece is a really important one in two ways I'm going to talk about. Like, oh my God, it's my fault. And two things come to mind for me when it's oh my God, it's my fault. Number one is everyone tries to adapt to what happened to them. Okay, we have to survive. We have to figure out a solution. And this is where all these symptoms come up: drinking, overeating, undereating, smoking, screaming, yelling, like
Codependence.
all of the codependency, depression, overworking, technology, addiction, hypersexuality, all that stuff. So those are adaptations to overwhelming experiences. And what ends up happening, and it really, excuse me, pisses me off, because culture and society and the mental health field pathologizes all those adaptations. There's,
Yes.
you're bad, you're wrong. We're going to stop your depression. We're going to get rid of your suicidality. Cutting is bad and wrong. Okay. So it's got this, it even compounds that it's my fault and I'm bad and wrong, when the very coping mechanisms that we all use are then pathologized by culture, society, and our mental health field. The way I work, and this is this thing, this kind of therapy called internal family systems, which I just love, talks about the positive intention of every symptom. Okay, it says we all have parts of us. Our parts either protect us or they carry wounds. And every part has a positive intention. So even the suicidal part has a positive intention. The depressed part has a positive intention. You know, the critical part, like how many people out there have an internal critic? Like,
oh, not me. I'm just kidding.
Right? Who doesn't have an internal critic is really more what it's like. But those are adaptations. Like, if you start listening to these adaptations, like, tell me why being critical is so important. The critic inside starts talking. It's like, I'm the only one that can keep him in line. If I don't keep him in line, he's going to get abused again.
Yeah.
So it's my job to keep him in line. Then you go, oh, that's the value of the critic. Same thing with cutting, for example. It's like, tell me how it's so useful, how it's important. The physical pain gets me away from the emotional pain. It's the only relief I get. Then you go, oh, wow, thank you so much. Every adaptation, every symptom has a positive intention. I always say we look at the intention behind any behavior, not the effect the behavior has. Everybody focuses on the effect. Drinking so bad, it causes so many troubles. And you lose your job, you're bad to your children. It's like,
right.
What about the value of drinking? It might be the only thing this part has to get away from the pain and isolation. Because alcohol takes you away.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're always looking at the value instead of the effect. Okay. So that's one thing that I think then helps people, like, okay, so maybe I'm not so bad. Maybe I'm not so broken. Maybe it's not my fault. Okay. So that's one piece for me that's so important. I really, if nothing else, I want people to get that message that all their adaptations are really positive intentions to try to help keep the pain away.
Yeah.
Okay. The second thing I want to say, and this gets into the little bit we talked about before, like this vulnerability issue you and I mentioned beforehand. Vulnerability. I have this whole idea about vulnerability, and some of it is connected to Brené Brown's work, who I just really love.
Oh, yes.
Around, like, vulnerability is a superpower, not a weakness. So many of the people that I work with is like, vulnerable? Frank, like, why would I be vulnerable? That's the stupidest thing in the world. Like, every time I'm vulnerable, I'm going to get hurt. And I really was sitting with this for a long time. I'm like, so why do I think, now that I've done so much healing work, vulnerability is beautiful? Why are all my clients like, it's a four-letter word? Like,
oh,
why
gosh.
Would I do that?
Yeah.
Right? And when I start unpacking it, Lily, I'm like, I go to this place of, there's a distortion around responsibility when it comes to vulnerability. I'll say that again. There's a distorted belief when it comes to vulnerability, especially people that have trauma histories or have been violated. And what I mean by that is this. My definition of vulnerability is, am I aligned to what I feel? Do I know my truth in feeling? Can I connect to what I feel? Because we disconnect to survive, right?
Yeah.
So number one, do I know what I feel? Number two, can I share it with somebody? Can I take the risk of sharing it with somebody, right? So for me, that's what true vulnerability is. What do I feel? Can I share it? It's how you may respond to me in my vulnerability, which is the real problem. If you're going to call me a worthless piece of shit,
right?
That's your reaction to who I am. But what trauma survivors do is say, oh, I must be wrong. So they misinterpret responsibility. It's like, oh, my father hitting me was wrong. I'm not wrong for being gay, for example, right? So people often take responsibility for what was done to them because of who they are. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You following that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So we misalign vulnerability is bad. I'm like, no, vulnerability is not bad. It's just expressing who you are. It's just sharing who you are. It's how people react to us that is the real problem.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. That was beautiful. Vulnerability for me too.
Yeah.
What I realized is that, well, obviously, yeah, the healing my emotional trauma and my PTSD or complex PTSD was this awakening to my vulnerability that it was safe, like for me, right?
Yeah,
But then
you
the
got
thing
it.
that also the change that I noticed was like if I shared vulnerably, was I
Yes.
sharing with the right person, or was I what was I expecting in that share?
You
And
got it.
through my healing, it's just the expression of even like doing this, or even like my, you know, my work and in my business, the expression of my vulnerability is enough, you know, and that has kind of distanced myself from what you're talking about, which is the responsibility from others or from, you know, like of, I don't know if I'm kind of making sense, but that's just been so
Totally.
powerful for me.
Totally. That's the differentiation for you're talking about,
Right.
this is, am I willing to share? So the other thing is we develop, the more we heal our trauma, the more discernment we have.
Yes.
Okay. Is
Yes.
this feel safe? Does this feel safe to share? Like, and you're coming from a place of discernment, not from a wounded place, because oftentimes when we're sharing from our wounds, we're looking for rescue.
Yes, let me just say I want to put a little mark in that because I know that I have a lot of oversharers here on my podcast. And so, you know, I kind of want to spend maybe we could spend a little time, you know,
You got
obviously,
it.
please keep going, but I just know that this is definitely connecting with a lot of people.
Totally. And it's so important. It's like who inside is doing the sharing? Okay. Who, what part of you is sharing? Okay. Because
So
typically
powerful.
our little wounded parts are sharing. Oh my God, you're going to love me in the
Yes,
way nobody
please
else
see
did.
me. Please understand
Yes.
me. Please
That's a
accept
younger
me.
part.
Yes.
Exactly. That's a younger part sharing. And younger parts tend to perpetuate our wounds because they're young, they're not well resourced, and they didn't have any choice. When you're a kid, you don't have choice of discernment. You share because you're trying to survive with your parents. So if we're sharing from the younger place, we're not using discernment, we're not making good judgment, and we're much more likely to get re-traumatized because we're not choosing from this place in IFS I call self. Okay, can my wise internal wisdom decide, is Lily a safe person? Can I share with her? Because my adult has better discernment than my little boy who's looking for love from my
Oh,
mother or father.
right, yeah.
Okay, so that's for me, it's like who's doing the sharing? Because when you share from that authentic core self, which I believe everybody has it. They may not have access to it all the time. But when you're sharing from your authentic self, you're much more likely to get openness, vulnerability in return. When you're sharing
Or
from this,
yeah, or be
go ahead,
okay
go
in my
ahead.
experience, or be okay with not, you know?
Yes, beautiful, totally. Like
Sorry to interrupt you.
you're
I got excited.
it's no, that's okay. Yeah, you're like, I'm being me, and if you're not okay with that, that's fine with me. That's you, not me.
Right, yeah.
I had a friend early in my life. She's like, Frank, if you're comfortable with being gay, you just say, hey, I'm gay. And if they freak out, it's their problem. If they accept me, good for them. So you let it be about the other person instead of taking it all personally. But kids don't have that option.
Right, true.
You
Yeah.
know,
Yeah, this is a great segue into we, you know, you've talked about internal family systems a little bit.
yeah,
Your book is Transcending Trauma again, and I'll link everything in the show notes. Healing Complex PTSD with Internal Family Systems Therapy. Who is this book for? Why this book? And then also in addition to that is what is it's a you know three-part question, I guess, but what is internal family systems and
Yeah.
why is it important?
Great. Yes. So I'll start with who is this book for? And that's a really good question because it's a bit of a crossover book right now. So one is the book is to teach people about this really powerful mode of therapy called internal family systems. Okay. And I'll explain what that is in a little bit. So it's a certain type of therapy that is wildly popular, that is spreading all over the world because people, when you experience connecting to your different parts of you, connecting to your truth, learning how to heal trauma from within, it's powerful. So I'll explain a little bit more about internal family systems, but the book is to teach people about internal family systems, but it's also to give this roadmap to healing relational trauma. Okay, healing relational trauma. And so it's for therapists to learn how to work with their clients, but it's also for clients who have experienced this, okay, and want to learn about this method of therapy. So it's a bit of a crossover. The next book I'm writing is for the general public. It's going to be more like a memoir, for example, on my own healing journey, right? So this is a bit of a crossover. It's for therapists, but it's also for survivors if they want to learn about IFS and they want to learn the ways that this kind of therapy, and I'm going to say is uniquely situated to healing complex relational trauma. So that's who the book's for. It's also such a personal healing journey. Okay. I've been in this field of trauma I've worked with, for those of you who know Bessel van der Kolk, I've been working with him since 1992. He's a dear friend and colleague of mine. I've been in the trauma field my whole life. Surprised, I'm not only the expert, I have a trauma history, right? Yes. As it always goes.
No way.
It always goes, right? Shocking, yeah. Frank, really, right? I hate this us and them, like I'm the expert, right? So part of the book, this book was part of my own healing journey. Like I talk openly about my own trauma history in there. I think it's very important. Want people to be able to relate and identify and see that healing's possible. This is really possible. The most important quote in this book for me is trauma blocks love and love heals trauma. And it's a cycle. Trauma blocks who we are. It blocks our essence. It blocks our core self. And love, our core self and our connection is what heals trauma. You know, a couple minutes we talked about this younger parts looking for someone else to heal them. One of the beautiful things about this internal family systems therapy is that we are helping people see and connect to their internal healing resource. We all have internally what we need to heal. We might need a guide to help us, but we have the resources to heal when a therapist or a coach helps us access that internal wisdom.
Yes.
So for me, this is a book for, in some ways, everybody to learn that there is hope out there. There are models out there that can really help. It can't really be done exclusively on your own. You do need help and support, but it brings in, you are a huge piece of your own healing. Like you are a huge, it's the you being with your wounded parts instead of farming them out for other people to rescue.
Yes. Thank you. Let that sit for a second. Yes. So good.
We call it the U-turn. We call it the U-turn. Can you do the U-turn and start looking within? And like what I say is nobody can heal that little boy in me better than me. I could love him and be there for him in the way that he never got. Okay. I'm the next best thing. Okay. Not anybody else. Interestingly enough, and IFS shows people how to utilize that internal resource that we all have. So many people feel broken, empty, nothing, like I have no self. I'm saying, I know you can feel that way. And it's an issue of access. You have it in you. I can help you access it.
Yeah. And disconnection was a
big thing for me in my development and growth, for sure. What's also, I think, so powerful for just the lay person, maybe, that is just hearing about what internal family systems is we do this in our daily colloquial. Like when we talk daily, we say, oh, a part of me wants this cheeseburger and a part of me knows that I should eat this celery, or, you know, that's a very extreme example, but we do this anyways. We already identify with the different parts of us that kind of have this, dual, you know, God devil relationship, you know, so to speak. Not all the time, but we do identify, like, oh, there's a part of me that's this, which is in a way, amazing way for us to kind of understand ourselves. And what I think is great is that what you're saying is that we already know that there are different parts of us kind of with, for lack of a better term, running our life, or creating our relationships, or making it, you know, having us make decisions in different areas of our life. But what you're also saying is that, at least the way that I'm hearing it, is that these parts of us can tell us different things about ourselves that, it's not, you know, they can be protective parts, like you're saying. They can be our wounded parts, which a lot of times is a younger part of ourselves, but the way that we relate to them, the way that we relate to all these parts, is almost the way that we relate, like, to our whole being. Is that?
Yes, totally. And you know what? The other thing I'll say, it's not this whole idea of parts, and you did a great job kind of explaining parts of us that protect, like the part that drinks or the part that's depressed is protecting a wound the way they know how to protect, parts that carry wounds and vulnerability. We have normal aspects of our personality that are just, you know, I love running and I, you know, love playing with my kids. I like eating out at nice restaurants. We have normal aspects of our personality too. And we also have that self-energy, that inner core, that inner resource that can kind of help repair the wounds that were created. Okay. It's like this internal resource, this internal way of healing, this internal way of repairing. And you know, when I went to my residency program, like if you talked about different parts of yourself, you were called Sybil. Like, what's wrong? Like, hello,
crazy or bipolar or multiple personality, or like open up the DSM. And I'm sure that you can find a bunch of different diagnoses.
Exactly. It was so pathologizing. And I'm saying, no. Parts are normal parts of our personality. We want to get to know them. It is not pathological to have different parts. You know, I did a little bit of work with Pixar at one point several years ago on the working with the Inside Out, the movie, you know,
beautiful.
Joy, sadness, fear, anger, disgust. I'm like, yes.
Thank
we
you.
All have those. Exactly. I'm like, thanks, Pixar. I really appreciate you writing a movie about IFS, which of course they didn't do. But it was this idea. It's a very easy concept for people. Even kids get it. Of course, we have different aspects of our personality and they serve different functions. And for me, healing is like self-awareness and self-connection, like in its most simple form, because what we do is try to get away from it all instead of move toward it. Okay.
Yeah. Push
right.
It
We're
down,
all
push
constantly
it
push it down, push it away, push it. Away. And this is like move toward it and learn the value of every one of these parts. Every one of these parts has value and has a positive intention. The other thing I'll say about it, Lily, is this. There's a way to be in your parts, kind of taken over by them.
Yes,
she's like,
I raised
there.
My hand, everybody. You can't see it, but I raised my hands.
Guilty. Right? We all are. Or being with our parts. Huge difference. I can't stand you is me being in my part that can't stand you. Now you experience that as very overwhelming and you're going to be defensive. Oh yeah? Well, blah, blah, blah. But if I could be with my part, say a part of me is so upset right now, the energy feels so different. So if we can speak for our experience instead of from our experience, it makes a huge difference in our relationships and life. And it's a way of being in the world. What if everybody took responsibility, right, for their own behavior instead of this constant blaming and slinging and blaming the other person?
Yeah.
"You're such a jerk" is very different than "a part of me's hurt by what you said." Because that's what "you're such a jerk" is.
So good. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to get people to do that U-turn, to try to listen to their parts, hear the value, and then speak for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Versus be in it. You're driving in the car. "Stop cutting me off, you idiot." You know, that's being in a part attacking somebody versus, "Oh my God, that was so scary."
That's scared. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So most people are in their parts to protect instead of being with their parts, which is a game changer in relationships. And it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
But it's so valuable. So important.
So yeah, I love this. I could talk about this for days. some things that came up for me, it's such a beautiful conversation, is what you're saying about authenticity. And that's one of, like, my program name is called Align Into Authenticity. It comes from my journey of what I realized is that decades into my life, I had just been really disconnected from myself, like my self-energy, which is your term that I love.
Totally.
So can you talk a little bit about self-energy and about how those parts, like, what's the relationship between, I think we talked a little bit about it, but just in this frame of, like, you know, now that you're pointing out some really great aha moments, I'm hoping to people, and it's about, oh yeah, well, that part makes sense. And, I don't want to not like that part. And instead, like, I can be very aware of this reaction in me is not about, like, the other person, but it's about, like, something inside of me that is, like, has a base reaction or a base need, like sadness or love or anger or, you know, whatever it is. So would you mind kind of just talking a little bit about self-energy and about how these parts relate to, oh, we talked a little bit about that, but self-energy would be great. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally will. Absolutely. And I want to highlight, and I love that that's, you know, kind of a frame for this podcast is authenticity, because that is, I think all of us, for me, that's been a striving in my life to be, be the most me I can be. And as I said earlier, trauma blocks that.
Right.
But parts block that too. There's a very interesting relationship between the parts of us that develop as a result of protection and this, what we call self-energy to part relationship. So from the IFS view, everybody's made up of self-energy, your core, your inner wisdom. Mm. I call it source energy, honestly. I think everybody has source energy in us. And we're made up of all these different parts of us or aspects of our personality. Normally, self and parts live beautifully together, harmoniously together. It's when we experience something overwhelming that parts are forced into these extreme roles. I have to drink in order to stop the pain. There ends up being this disconnection between the self and the part. These parts overwork so much to protect that they get disconnected, and there's no more alignment between self and parts. Okay. So the work is, the more we can help these parts, the more we can heal them, the more we can help release what they're carrying. And there's a whole process of doing that. There's a whole, all the steps to help release these extreme roles that parts were forced in and release the pain. It's not just about living with the pain. It's about releasing it, no longer carrying the pain. That's what real true healing is. And once you're able to release the pain, there's a way to do that. These parts of us don't have to do these extreme roles anymore.
Right.
I don't have to drink. Maybe I can choose to drink if I want to, but I don't have to constantly protect. Once these extreme roles are released, then there's this beautiful flow again between self and parts. And for me, that's what authenticity is. Like, mm-hmm. I'm more me than I've ever been in my life. And it's because I don't need to block or deny or pretend or to please in order to get loved anymore.
Right.
I can be me because I do love me, because I've healed the places that didn't feel that. And so I can just authentically be me, which is a combination of my core and my parts. We never get rid of any parts. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful aspects of our personality. I'll tell you, like personally, I was so over intellectual as my main survivor. Okay. It's like, I am smart. It's who I am. Right. That's it. Nothing else. It was almost like I didn't have access to anything else, but smart, 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 mm-hmm. because smart will get me rewards and mm-hmm. smart will get people to like me. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I started doing my healing journey, which is many years ago now, this smart part doesn't have to dominate my whole life. It can start relaxing a bit. It allows other aspects of my personality to show up.
Yes.
Right? It's like, hey, I'm kind of funny too, is what it was. And I never even knew. I never had access to my humor.
Right.
Okay. It was all dominated by this drive to protect by my smart part. So this authenticity is, the more we really do heal, the more we go back and heal what is painful, the more we can naturally be us. Okay. I'll get to say one more thing, and this just cracks me up because I'll say two things. So I've got myself an earring for those of you who can't see it.
Look right? at you.
And I wear clogs. I wear big clunky clogs. Okay. And my kids tease me mercilessly. You know, they're like, oh, come on, Papa. Come on, Papa. What are you wearing clogs for? Men don't wear clogs. And I'm like, you know what? All my life, I thought clogs were cool, but oh my God, I'd be terrified to wear them. What would people say? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, if you wore an earring, you're going to get beat up. What ear is it in? The right ear, the left ear, right? The whole thing, right? And so the more I've healed my trauma, the more I feel clear and confident in myself, the more I'm like, this is me. I like mm-hmm. wearing clogs and I think this earring's cool. And so I'm just more me.
Yeah.
Like I'm more authentically me. I'm not covering or hiding anymore in the way that I felt I needed to before.
Yeah. And yeah, the decisions that you make are, like you're saying, they're come from an aligned place, which is like,
yeah,
so good. It's so amazing. Yes.
Yeah. And I want to say everybody's capable of this.
Yes.
This is really my message. Like mm-hmm. I have done a lot of healing work over my life and I'm more me than I have ever been in my life. And I am not done either. I am working on myself for life. I say same. I'm a lifer, right?
Same.
Right.
Yeah.
I am. My journey is not done, but we can all let go and heal the layers of hurt and pain that we carry.
Yeah.
And it's so important for me, for people that are feeling hopeless or now, oh, maybe he can, I can't, that kind of thing. Like, no, this is possible yep. for everyone. And the more you heal, the more you become.
Yeah. I also say healing is life. That's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Yes. So we're coming up on time, but I do want to just kind of, you put in something earlier in the conversation that we didn't really draw out, but I think it's important because this is something that I wouldn't have known before. Before, you know, I was kind of deep down in the hole, is the importance of support. And you mentioned this a little bit before, and I preach on this, which is why I kind of want to draw it out, because I know that for me, being alone was like, it was kind of futile. Like I had, like yeah. you're saying, like there are yeah. parts of me that had to shut down in order for me to survive.
Right.
So I tried to carry that on in my adult life and, you know, reading all the books and all the podcasts and doing, you know, all the things on my, by myself, which is amazing. And there was growth in that, of course. But I also noticed that I kept repeating the same relational patterns. I, you know, I would go through very like low lows and really high highs, you know, instead of like being a very calm, centered, you know, projection in person. And it wasn't until that I stepped into the right healing environment with someone safe. And I think, you know, the love and connection piece obviously is super important with that. But I would love to hear as we close out kind of what your thoughts on that is, because we haven't really touched on that either.
Well, so this is where I'll say love and connection are kind of everything. It's kind of what we're here on earth for, is experiencing love and connection. And trauma violates that connection. Okay. It violates it relationally with another person. But as I said earlier, it also violates the internal relationship between self and parts, because parts have to get disconnected to survive. So for me, this piece of aloneness is that, you know, healing is the antithesis of loneliness. Healing is about reestablishing connection, reestablishing contact and connection. Like it is so vital. And alone does feel safer in trauma.
Totally.
Especially in that relational trauma thing. When a person is what hurt you, it's obvious, don't be with people. You'll be safer. Like it's a natural tendency, right? Isolation, but then it just perpetuates this painful place of alone. Like we are beings that need to connect for survival. I mean, you can't exist in isolation. So for me, it really is all about connection, and it is about self-connection and then the ability to connect with others. Like when I work with somebody who has attachment trauma, they're like desperately clinging.
Yeah.
Right. So we kind of know that story.
I don't know. I'm sure it's not anyone listening to this either.
Exactly. And then we teach people to learn about self-connection. It's like, oh, wow, I could be with me and I could be by myself.
Yes.
Beautiful. Right. Self-reliance and self. I have me now in a way I never did before. But I don't want people to just stay there and say relationships are so dangerous. I have me. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Then the next step is heal those wounds so you can actually have you. And you can have a safe healing connection too.
Yes.
Like it's full circle, right?
Yeah. The way that I kind of say it, is that like, I'm like, when I get to that spot of aligned, authenticity, for lack of a better word, but like everything else, like the work that I do, the money that I make, the connection that I have with my friends, my partner, it's bonus. Yeah. It's like, it really, it's an enhancer. You like it's just a bonus in my life. That's the way that I see it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we all have that capacity within to be able to feel that level of connection and just settledness within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can heal for sure. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I can talk to you for hours, but, as we close up here today, where can people get your book, and also where can they find you on, we didn't really get to your mission, but I know that I'll see it on social media. I follow you on Instagram, as you're kind of bringing yourself more into the public eye. You've been kind of on the background for a while, which is so needed. It's such a beautiful, embodiment of work, and, go follow Dr. Anderson and Frank, on social media, but where can they get the book? Where can they?
Yeah, sure. That's book Transcending Trauma, Healing Complex PTSD with Internal Family Systems. Certainly you can get it on Amazon. The publishing company is called PESI, so PESI.com. it's in Target now. It's in what's another bookstore that it's in? Oh, I can't remember what it's called, but there's, so it's in a lot of bookstores. It's in most of our bookstores now. You can go to my website if you want to follow me that way. I'm in the process of getting a new website, so you'll see the old one first, but frankandersonmd.com is my website. And there's a list of, to follow me, you know, I have a newsletter and things like this if people want to kind of follow my whereabouts. I do a lot of speaking and teaching kind of now, kind of all over the world. Interesting. 2 weeks ago, I was just in Israel sitting right here because everything's teletherapy now. A month ago, I was in Portugal. So it's really spreading all over the world.
So good.
In this way.
It's needed.
But, you know, it's needed. And then Instagram is such a popular venue now. It's Frank_AndersonMD on Instagram. And I think I have a Facebook page too. But yeah, follow me in any ways. And you know what I want to say, I guess in closing, is follow me so you can kind of follow my journey. But for me, I want to be creating a web of connection for people to heal together, because this has got to be done in connection. Mm-hmm. And the more we create these, I think about a huge web of healing, right? Yes. So you and I have created this connection that's going to help more people heal. And everybody listening is now part of that connection towards healing. So I want to just create this huge network far and wide as we connect in these ways towards shifting things towards healing and away from pain and trauma.
Thank you. Yeah. I actually, funny that you say that, we didn't talk about this, but I just launched my community yesterday, actually. So So
you did?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
great. So I agree. Let's all do it. Let's all reach out for love and connection in a safe way and do our best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Could I just say one last thing too?
Please?
Is I really appreciate you inviting me here. And I could see the level of healing that you've done. Like, it's so obvious and apparent to me. Like, I love seeing somebody who has had trauma and who also has done a lot of healing work. So it's really beautiful to kind of be with you and your energy in that way.
Thank
I can feel that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The universe tickled me. That's what I call it when I get chills. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show, and go check out, please, Frank and Dr. Anderson. I guess you're two people now.
Check out both of them.
Yeah, all of them. Yes. On all of the channels, and get his book as well. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.